Please include the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. in your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2020, we're $160,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be going through our listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line here for the next few minutes of the program, live this Friday, December the 4th. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line open 24/7 for anyone who wants to join the conversation for any reason, 618-223-8382. Speaking of the comment line, let's kick it off with a comment on a recent interview we did with regular guest Wesley Smith.
Hi, my name is Ashley from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm calling about your episode with Wesley J. Smith that was aired on November 20th about the COVID-19 Pfizer and Moderna specifically vaccine and the reference to the Lozier Institute, which on their chart that Wesley J. Smith refers to clearly states that in the testing phases, Moderna and Pfizer both used aborted fetal cells, and he either inadvertently or on purpose lied in his segment. So if you wanted to double check that, you can go to the Lozier Institute and look at their chart and see that aborted fetal cells were most definitely used in the testing phases. And I would argue that there is another site that is also reputable that talks about the Moderna vaccine actually containing aborted fetal cells in it. And so he is highly pro-vaccine and pro-COVID-19 vaccine and anti-mandatory vaccines. And so he was not a very neutral person to be putting on your show. And I'm a little disappointed that you didn't do your research on the COVID-19 vaccine first before you had him on talking about COVID-19 vaccines in terms of pro-life issues, because this is a very major issue here in the United States in terms of the lies that the media is telling us about whether or not these vaccines are ethical or not. So anyway, thank you.
Well, first of all, as to the charge that Wesley lied either willingly or unwillingly, he did not lie willingly. And he did not lie. In fact, a listener has informed us that the original of Wesley's article linked to an earlier chart from Lozier Institute that didn't contain the information that our listener has brought to light here. I can tell you without a doubt that Wesley Smith has for decades been one of the leading champions against, well, embryonic stem cell research and then also the use of fetal cells in any kind of medical research. He's adamantly opposed to it, and that is precisely why we brought him on to talk about this. This is one of his subjects, and he had written a very brief piece there for, I think it was for National Review Online over the Discovery Institute about that Lozier link. We are going to have Dr. David Prentice of the Charlotte Lozier Institute on pretty soon to talk about the ethics of these vaccines and to talk about the very, very chart that our listener highlights for us. If you look at the chart, it is pretty depressing because you can go after vaccine, there probably dozens of them from various pharmaceutical companies and research facilities. And the vast majority of them, either in the production or in the testing, use aborted fetal cells. And some will say, well, that abortion took place decades ago and these lines were developed from that aborted fetus. Doesn't matter when the abortion took place. It's ill-gotten gains. It's fruit of a poison tree. So you're not going to get an argument with me or from me on the issue of whether or not someone should use a vaccine that uses aborted fetal cells. Now, many people have without knowing that. And you're right, everyone should do their research. But we'll get the full explanation from Dr. David Prentice in a future installment of Issues, Etc.
I feel a little guilty for that because we originally scheduled Wesley to talk about the Great Reset, this global political philosophy. wrote an exhaustive column on that issue. And then I saw here this real short one for the Discovery Institute, where he pretty much says, just go to the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And I asked him, hey, would you come on and talk about that issue too? So anyway, but we'll get Dr. David Prentice on.
And look, Charlotte Lozier is doing the backbreaking labor of actually researching these things and saying, okay, let's look at every phase of the development. They're going through these. I've tried to read some of them. These research documents that are just impenetrable medical language, but they're going through it and they're assembling it in a way that the average person can look at a chart and say, okay, this one, I want to stay clear of this one because it has used aborted fetal cells. So they're making this information available to us, and we'll have Dr. Prentice on soon. We'll be right back.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crusum's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made. Right here in Colorado, we offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrusum.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
When you attack something like Black Lives Matter, people defend with great passion, because these political identity groups are serving as substitute families for people, and they have projected what would be familial loyalty onto these groups.
This is the picture. You got all the soldiers fighting on the front, but there's the supply lines that are getting the food and ammunitions and everything else like this. The Word of God is the supply line of the grace of God, from the throne of God in heaven to sinners here on earth. And so that's going to be the place that the devil is going to attack, and attack the fiercest.
If you say follow the science, and you say that heterodox scientific hypotheses or differing interpretations of existing data have no place in the discussion, what you're doing is you're actually stifling science.
Children, we now know that every ancient culture has a flood story. Doesn't that just show the Bible's a myth? And I remember even at that age thinking, wait a minute, there's another way to interpret that data.
In a half hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, live this Friday afternoon, the 4th of October. One from Dr. Mary Eberstadt, Why Black Lives Matter Replaces the Family. One from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, God's Word, Our Supply Line. Wesley Smith's thoughts on trust science. And Dr. Louis Marcos, How Pagan Mythology Can Strengthen the Case for Christ. We'll give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote. That is a Holy Family Outdoor Nativity Set from the Outdoor Nativity Store, an Ad Crusum Baptismal Keepsake, the I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag goes to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @issuesetc, or going to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can also wait and vote live by giving us a call, and phone call voters get to vote first, 1-877-623-MYIE.
Lots of anti-mask email. Let's begin with Doug. He's responding to our interview last week on caring for your pastor during a pandemic with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Doug says, I'm embarrassed for the church right now. Is it not the job of the church to make sure we have proper government? Or is that just left up to, quote, the people, end quote? We just go along to get along? So I have to take off my mask to eat the body and blood of Christ? I don't think God is most impressed with us right now. It's not the 14th century. So in the 21st century, scientific inquiry is no better than it was 500 plus years ago. Last I checked, is the church's job to challenge improper government? Is it not? We do it in the case of abortion, but not this. Where is the credibility? So I guess we have to wait for a true Hitler to arise. Is that what it's going to take? Then we have the next Bonhoeffer being hanged with piano wire. We wait for this? And this comes from Wendy in North Dakota. She says, totally disagree with Terry Mattingly. There's no evidence that masks do anything but make some people feel better mentally. I do not wear a mask if I can help it and consider them very unhealthy, both physically and mentally. A Dutch study revealed masks did nothing, and evidence from the 1919 influenza showed masks actually caused ill health and more cases of pneumonia and death by the wearers. If the friend he spoke of is fearful of the virus, then he needs to stay home and let the rest of the country live their lives. The virus is going to go where it goes, and 99% plus people live through it. I do love your show. Thanks to Doug, and thanks to Wendy for the email.
To draw a moral equivalence between the church speaking on abortion and for some reason the church speaking on masks, there is no thus saith the Lord on whether or not you should wear a mask. I'm speaking to the first emailer here. So please don't draw an equivalence between the church's need to speak to the government and to power about the atrocity of abortion and somehow the need for the church to tell the government to stay off our backs when it comes to masks. One has a thus saith the Lord, the other doesn't. And there is no moral equivalence between the wickedness of abortion and wearing a mask. Now, to the second emailer, I remain a mask agnostic. That's what I call myself. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I know nothing about any of these things, and I have absolutely no training. And I don't believe about 99% of what I read on the internet when it comes to masks on either side, pro or against. So I'm mask agnostic, but I am a Christian. So wearing a mask does not hurt or harm my neighbor. I don't know if it actually helps my neighbor, but it does not hurt or harm my neighbor. And if my neighbor's conscience or even just their sense of well-being is diminished if I'm not wearing a mask during the days of COVID, then I will wear a mask. So it just makes them feel better. Well, what's wrong with making your neighbor feel better? It just alleviates their fears. What's wrong with, maybe their fears are irrational. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Alleviating their fears is an act of kindness and thinking first of my neighbor and not of myself. Look, I've got grandchildren who have all kinds of irrational fears. I don't say to them, your fears are irrational. I will not deal with them. Now, so Craig tells the story about his daughter running in and jumping on him in the middle of the night because she has a fear of wolves and she had a bad dream about a wolf. Craig knows full well there are no wolves in the Feichtinger house. Wolves don't live in this neighborhood. Her fear was irrational. But what does he say? There are no wolves in the house. Get back to bed, you little brat. No, he doesn't. He comforts the irrational fears of his daughter, knowing full well that they are certainly irrational. Now, we don't know if the fears of our neighbor with regard to COVID are irrational or not. No one can absolutely say that. Even the best minds in medicine cannot say for sure. So when in doubt, we defer to our neighbor and we do everything to help and serve them. And if wearing a mask is that is such a small price to pay in a time of such fear, even if those fears may prove to be irrational. I got to say, I understand people questioning the utility of masks. I understand that completely. But there are people who live their entire lives in occupations that require them to wear them. Doctors, nurses. If you work in some kind of construction, you're going to be wearing a mask a lot. I finished out my basement, and when I was doing drywall and I was painting, well, one day I didn't wear a mask and I paid for it for about 3 months with the case of bronchitis. But I wore a mask. Was it uncomfortable? Absolutely. Was it unpleasant? Yes. But even for my own health in a case like that, I wore it after I woke up one morning coughing up yellow paint. So in the case of a disease that many people fear, even if those fears are irrational, the least we can do is to wear a mask. That's the least we can do for them. And it's not a matter of having an ironclad opinion on whether they work or they don't work. You can remain a mask agnostic, but you're still a Christian, and your neighbor's well-being, even, yes, their feelings, come before yours.
Let's don't go down this path, But I think behind much of the criticism is not only the lack of, in their minds, scientific data, it's government overreach. It's government telling us we have to do these things. And I think that's part of why the very adamant anti-mask crowd reacts the way they do.
Right. So I'll just look at it this way. What if the government suddenly said, you don't have to drive on the right side of the road? You can drive on any side of the road you want to. Would we all start driving on the left side of the road? No, we'd
But there's scientific evidence that would say you're going to get in an accident. That's right. What they're going to say.
Yeah. And so, but we would say, look, just for the sake of argument, let's all agree to drive on the right side of the road, depending on which direction you're going. And that's the way we keep one another safe. Now the government says, now wait a minute, we're going to change our law and say you have to drive on the right side of the road. Guess what? We'd all still do it. Just because the government tells you you have to do something doesn't mean that they're robbing you of your freedom. They might actually be trying to protect you.
All right. This email comes from Carrie. It's in regards to Monday. Yes. Listener email and the issues, et cetera, comment line twice in 1 week. And my good friend Felix down in Plano, Texas, has always said, if you have two listener email and comment line in 1 week, that means Schwartz didn't book enough guests. And this is most certainly true, Felix. So this comes from Monday's listener email comment line. Here we are on Friday. Carrie says, Wilkins' mic sounds too hot compared to Schwartz's. Thanks for the usual great programming.
During these segments?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yeah, don't come on. It's hard enough to get me to come on email. Don't try to get me on some other segment of this show.
Is that mic running through any compression right there?
We think so.
Okay. We think so.
We think so. They're called voice processors, and these are older ones that I'm using. They've been, what would you say, Craig?
Fixed? Rehabbed?
Now, see, Craig really sounds bad. Yeah. Carrie, if you think I'm bad, because now Craig, terrible. We know, is not has no processing going on whatsoever in his mic. So I should sound a little bit better than Craig. But the best equipment goes to Wilkin and Whedon, not to the unnamed, still waiting for a $50,000 donor to name the studio, not to Studio B that I'm sitting in.
Well, and the levels are a little difficult. Craig is watching what amounts to VU meters in there to see that the levels are even. He's also double checking that against how the waveform looks when we're recording. And he's got headphones on. There's three different ways that he's trying to monitor those levels. So we'll try and keep them as even as possible. But it really is a balancing act depending on the guest, how we're connected to them. I'm the only thing that's consistent. Everything else gets changed interview to interview, because my levels never change. Jeff, on a daily basis, says, check the voice processor. So I pull out a little picture I have of the voice processor and check whether all the knobs are in the right place.
Marshoni, Hudson, Michigan writes, good afternoon. I used to listen to Issues Etc. podcast daily about 5 years ago. Then I got caught up in the political drama over the last 4 years. And I'm embarrassed to say that I started listening more to local radio and news, primarily to hear what the latest restrictions were going to be made for me and my family. I just turned Issues back on recently, and I have noticed a stark contrast from when I was listening before. The listener email comments now are extremely critical. I'm somewhat shocked. I really don't remember that many mean and snarky comments several years ago, but it seems to really stand out now after having several years in between. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but wow. Have you all noticed it, or is it just me? However, I do thank you for all you do, and I regret that I took a break from Issues, etc. I'm blessed to hear your podcast again. Thanks for listening in Michigan. Marshoni.
We've always had criticism in email and comment line, and we usually put those first. That's just our policy, is to go to criticism first and respond to it. I don't know, Jeff, you've got the institutional memory around here. I think it's two things that we've discussed before. It is, one, this is a very stressful time for everybody. Everyone's kind of on a daily basis enduring a little more stress than they normally do. Some people a lot more. And two, it's a presidential election season. Even, yes, the election is kind of over, but it's still a presidential election season. Those things always seem to make the criticisms come out, regardless of who we're interviewing or what we're talking about.
Yes, this year has been a little more livelier than previous presidential election cycles. I attribute that to President Trump is a lightning rod figure, whether you love him, you're agnostic towards him, or you don't like him. You mentioned it's a presidential election cycle, and we're in the middle of a global pandemic where people rightfully feel a lot of their freedoms are being restricted. So I think it's a perfect storm.
And if I look back over the last year and think about the criticisms that we have been hearing, they're largely related to the pandemic in some way or to the politics. Those are the two things. We don't get a lot of, we do get some, but not a lot of criticism for, say, looking forward to Sunday morning or even something like Chris Roseborough, you know, talking with him about This Week in Pop Christianity, any of the other features that we do. It tends to be the pandemic or the politics.
And look, we need criticism.
Absolutely.
And as I always say in journalism, you either develop a thick skin or you write, you work in public relations and write puff press releases for Fortune 500 companies.
Right. And look, that's the way it is. I kind of actually thrive on the criticism. I find that more interesting than, you know, you guys are doing a great job. It's always nice to get a pat on the back, but it's a little more stimulating to get some criticism. So
you're a sick man. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you like people like I want criticism. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Now, you might get a jolt out of it a little more.
It makes for better radio. That's for sure. I like it because it makes for better radio. If it's all attaboys, that just gets boring.
Well, I agree with
after
you
a while.
I agree with you there.
So. Personally, I don't know. I'm like anybody else. I don't like personally like the criticism.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell
but
Maria.
Part of my job is not to take it personally.
I'm gonna tell Maria. You know what? You don't complain enough about Todd. You don't criticize him enough. Your wife, and you're gonna come back here and you're gonna say what? You're gonna say I love it.
Well, first,
it was great this weekend. Maria like criticized me 22 times. You're not gonna say that. Hey, a couple more emails.
Sure.
All right. This is positive. Can I read a positive one? Are you gonna be okay with that? You're gonna fall asleep during it.
You're gonna bore me to death.
Mark in Fenton says, I'm listening on demand to the first of the 52 weekly episodes with Dr. Sherb on the Old Testament. I am excited. Thank you. Great programming as usual.
And there's so much more to come with Dr. Sherb and our walk through the Old Testament according to the church here. It's started out great. It's going to continue to be great.
Chris has said, Dr. Luis Marcos, I really enjoyed his interview. Please have him on more often.
Yeah, we talked with him, and I said to Jeff, where has this guy been hiding all this time? He actually made it to Soundbite of the Week this week. Soundbite number 4, how does pagan mythology strengthen the case for Christ?
And during that interview, I remember telling Craig's like, I'm going to take a Greek mythology, Roman mythology course. I mean, wouldn't you love to take a course from that guy?
Absolutely.
He was amazing. Will, quickly in Battleground, Washington. Hi, great interview with Dr. R.J. Snell. I believe one component whipping the recent protesters into an often violent and deadly frenzy is their total acceptance and very real gut-wrenching horror over all the recent, I think, insane climate alarmism. They really believe we are destroying the earth with our modern ways and bringing on a worldwide catastrophe by our normal lifestyles, even our breathing out CO2. Combine this with believing we are all oppressor racists and all our lives do not count for much, writes Will in Battleground, Washington.
Well, Will, I think you've put your finger on a couple factors of what make people so desperate and make these times so desperate. If you're told that the world's only going to last another 12 years and that we'll extinguish life in 12 years, or if you're told that we are building up towards some sort of a climate crisis, if you're told that everything and everyone around you is filled with hate, even though they don't know it, it's no wonder that people are living in fear, that they're confused, and that, well, yes, they're even rioting in the streets. That's what lies do. They do not bring clarity or comfort. They just bring confusion and anger. We'll be right back. Please include the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2020, we're $160,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
In the Old Testament, in the Exodus, the tabernacle was the sign of God's presence among his people. That presence is now in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And so John writes in his gospel, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." To learn more about this and how Christ fulfills the Old Testament in his incarnation and birth, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today, cph.org/witness to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Please know that you're welcome at Ascension Lutheran Church in Niles.
We believe that every word of Holy Scripture is true.
Jesus died and rose again for your salvation.
We pray for each other. It's a priority.
We help each other in times of need.
We help each other grow in faith.
We encourage one another.
We truly love one another.
We have room for you and those you love.
Ascension Lutheran Church.
Niles and Annoy.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.